volunteer for VBS. We want you to participate in that. That's one of the best things that we do over across the year, and it's fun to see every part of the church coming together for that week. So mark that down, June 13th through the 17th, and then all the Denver signups are available at the table outside if the Lord leads you to do that as well. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We're continuing in our study through the book of Romans and looking at how we are desperately in need of grace. We're desperately in need for grace. And this is an interesting way for us to kind of see that we are in need for grace. I don't know about you, but when the spring comes around, I begin to try to declutter. Many of you probably, in families, kids, you probably do not like having to clean out your room and giving up some of the toys that you love and all those kinds of things. Guys, you probably don't want to give up one of the two pair of pants that you have that are actually nice and that kind of stuff. We have to give up all of these types of things, and we clean and declutter our lives. And oftentimes that happens to us spiritually too. We get in these phases and times when our lives become very cluttered, doesn't it? That we overthink things, that we're spread too thin, and we lack the ability to discern proper priorities. You may be in that season right now where you're just kind of heading from one place to another. You don't know what's really important and what's not really important. And that happens actually in the business world too. Lauren and I love Chili's. And, hi, welcome to Chili's. But Chili's, if you're a Vine guy in here, this is the thing about Chili's. In 2017, they were on a downward trend. And the reason was they had a wide menu, but none of it was all that good or effective. And so their efficiency and their effectiveness decreased exponentially. And so in 2017, they cut their menu by 40% in order to kind of jolt the company so they could be more efficient and more effective. The same is true in our lives spiritually, in that there are times that we have to reset and rethink our priorities and kind of get back on track. Paul this morning, as we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17, is helping us kind of rethink what our spiritual priorities ought to be. He's saying that Chick-fil-A should be chicken, Five Guys should be burgers, and the Christians should be about the gospel, right? That's what Paul is teaching us this morning, that we ought to have a kind of a laser focus, a laser priority on what the gospel is to do in our hearts and lives. And so look with me at Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, and when you get there, say word. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may mutually encourage may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Will you pray with me? Father, we come into this moment and we know that we are incapable of fully understanding and applying this without your Spirit's help. And so I ask, God, feebly and humbly to you, that you would teach and use your word to teach us, to change us, to speak through me. May you strip away anything that is not of you. And it's your name we pray. Amen. What I want us to kind of see this morning, and ultimately what I hopefully think that Paul is trying to get to us and into our hearts and into our minds, is this: how can we know and experience the gospel? And he says it in this way, that we experience the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God powerfully saves us, sustains us, and reveals himself through us, through the gospel. God powerfully saves us, sustains us, and then reveals himself through us, through the gospel of Jesus. And the first way that we see that in verses 8 through 13 is that we experience the power and reality of the gospel of Jesus, that we both experience it. There's this kind of this twofold reality we see Paul saying. He says that we both experience the gospel personally and reveal the gospel in proclamation in three ways. And the first is this: that we reveal and experience the gospel through personal relationships with Christ and with other believers. That we experience the gospel through personal relationships with Jesus and through other believers. And the first way we see that is that we experience this through Christ, through our personal relationship with Christ. One of the things that Michael Johnson, our music minister, said this week in our staff meeting, and he noted that, look at all the personal pronouns in this first part of the letter. He says, first, I think, my God, through Jesus Christ, for all of you. Verse 9, for God is my witness. You were always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may know now at last succeed in coming to you. This is interesting that Paul kind of has this personal, deep friendship and relationship to God and with God. And that's available to any of us through Jesus Christ, our mediator, our high priest who goes before us, before God, that you and I have a personal relationship with the God of all creation. That's good news. There are times in our lives when we feel separated from God, when we feel like the cloud is covering the sky, that we can no longer see or feel the warmth of the sun. Every winter in Chattanooga, it feels like that. It's just cloudy and rainy. It feels like the sun is never going to come back out, right? And there's times in our lives when we feel that. But Paul is saying that he knows and has experienced the power of the gospel because he has a personal relationship with Jesus. How do we know that? A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Acts chapter 9, and he says that he personally saw the risen Lord Jesus and had a transforming relationship with him, that he's been made new. Now, there are times in our lives when we want to hear from somebody with experience. It's hard to go to marriage counseling if that person, it's hard to take them as seriously if that person's never been married. If I stand up here before you guys and start giving you parental advice as someone without children, many of you would probably laugh me off, right? It's like, yeah, you wait, buddy. You wait. It's not so simple, right? In some of your minds, you say that. And that's natural. That Paul is speaking here from his personal relationship, from his personal experience with Jesus Christ. And he thanks his God. You can have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And it revealed himself, that this trust and intimate relationship, one of the ways it revealed himself in Paul's life is that he trusted God even though he wasn't able to go to Rome when he thought he wanted to. He says that he longed to go to Rome, and that he's asked in his prayers that he would be able to somehow, by God's will, would actually be able to go because he longs to see them. Here's what we see in the personal relationship with Paul with God, is that Paul expressed his desire, expressed his longing in prayer but then trusted in the sovereign will of God and said, if this be your will, Lord, then I'm okay with that. But this is what I desire to do. But then he was faithful wherever the Lord actually took him. Sometimes in our lives, we become so paralyzed by trying to figure out where God has us, wants to teach us and show us next. We're paralyzed by unmet desires. We're paralyzed by things that come around us in our circumstances. We know we want to be here, but we can't. And through a personal relationship with Christ, Paul was able to have a trust and a faith that allowed him to thrive and accomplish God's purpose wherever he was. The main truth of this part is that we need to lean into Jesus. And I looked at this passage this week and prayed over it. And I thought about over the past few weeks, and I'm going to be honest with you, church, the past few weeks have been tough. I've seen myself and felt myself kind of being kind of grounded down like a mortar and a pestle. I've kind of felt a season of burning out, and I found myself being tired and discouraged in many ways. The weight of the past few weeks have been heavy, and maybe that's some of the ways that you feel about this time, or certainly you felt at some point in your life. And I longed for some personal time with the Lord. I longed for that, God, I see Paul speaking in these personal, loving, affirming, and affectionate terms with you, but you feel so distant, and I feel so tired. And what I kept waiting on was maybe for the circumstances to clear up, for kind of the clouds to move away, and for things to begin to get realigned. But thankfully, God gave me some grace, and I started reading Gentle and Lowly this week, which is an incredible book. And in it, one of the things that he says is that we don't need, and this is a core truth of the gospel that we so often forget, is that we don't need to wait until we get our lives back together, when the difficulties are gone, when the clouds roll away, to press and lean into Jesus. In fact, it's in our humility, it's in our need, it's in our burnout, it's in our difficulty, it's in the depth of pain, when Jesus is so near to us. And one of the things that I remembered on Wednesday night, Lauren and I went for a walk, and for the first time in many months, kind of this overwhelming anxiety rushed over me, kind of as a climax to what the past few weeks have brought. But that heaviness and that anxiety, along with the grace of God, led me back to Jesus, in that I don't have to be perfect in order to come to him, because he's the one that's come to me. You may be here this morning and you need to lean into Jesus. You may be tired. You may be not feeling successful. You may be looking for comfort. It's not in our strength that Jesus meets us. Jesus meets us most palpably in our weakness. And so Paul writes this and says, my Lord, my Savior, through Jesus Christ, my relationship. We experience the gospel through personal relationship with Christ, and we especially experience that in weakness. We also experience that, though, through other believers. Look at with me a little bit later on. He says, for I long to see you, in verse 11, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul says something beautiful about the church here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who's been on two journeys up to this point, shared the gospel with an unimaginable amount of people, says, I want to come to you, I long to come to you, that I may encourage you. But what does this stalwart in the faith say about these Roman believers that, you know, there's not much going on? They're young in the faith. He says that he would be mutually encouraged by them. Brothers and sisters, we desperately need and experience the gospel through the church of Jesus Christ. We need each other. We experience the gospel through an encouraging word on a Sunday morning. In a small group or a Sunday school, we experience the prayer covering, that we experience how Jesus prays for us as our intercessor with a brother that's interceding for us right beside us with his hand on us. We are encouraged through our relationship with other believers. And this is so incredible. So brothers, lean into Christ and lean into each other. For this is how we begin to experience and feel the power of God. Not only do we see it that way, but we also experience the power of the gospel through eager obedience. So we see that Paul has this personal relationship with Christ and with these other believers that he longs to see, that he prays for intimately, that he encourages and desires to be encouraged by. But then he begins to transition, doesn't he? Look with me at verse 14. I am under God, obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am, what? I'm eager. I'm not weighed down by this burden. I'm not burdened by this. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. What brings great joy into Paul's life is not just the priority of leaning into Christ, into the body. It's actually beginning to live with his godly purpose. To live with his godly purpose. You and I experience and reveal the power of the gospel through eager obedience to Christ. So how does the gospel impact him as he meditates on it and leans into Jesus? It naturally causes him to have a love and affection and a desire to share that with others. He says he's obligated. Now, this obligation is interesting. When you and I think of a debt or an obligation, we tend to think of that in a negative light, right? We hear Dave Ramsey in our mind, snowball that baby, get that out. Don't let that debt stay there. There's two types of debt, Tim Keller tells us in one of his commentaries. He says there's the first type of obligation or debt is from one person to another. I loan you $100. You owe me $100, and you are under that debt or obligation until that exchange is given. But he says there's another way, and this way is the way that the obligation that we see here. The second type of obligation or debt is when God gives us, say, something, or I give you $100, but that $100 is not for you. It's actually meant to be given to someone else. So I say, Rob, I'm going to give you $100, but I'm really busy right now. Can you give it to Ryan, right? And at that point, Rob is under the obligation or debt not to pay me back, but to deliver that $100 to Ryan. And it's under this type of obligation that Paul says that we as believers are eager to be able to give one another, that God has given us the gospel that transforms and changes our lives, but it's not a debt that we can ever pay back to God. If you try to earn your favor before God, even as a believer, you're going to burn out and your life is going to be miserable. You're going to be a Pharisee and you're going to think of yourself highly and crush others. And you will ultimately be crushed underneath that. But Paul's joy, Paul's purpose that he's living for is that we have the opportunity and obligation that we can eagerly give the gospel to other people, that God has given us this to give away to others. Kent Hughes tells us this. He says, our debt is to God, but the payment is to men. Our debt is to God, but our payment is to men. This is what we have, this eager opportunity to share the gospel with others because of what Christ has done in our lives. It is the testimony of your faith, it is your relationship with God and with Christ and with other believers close enough and intimate enough and powerful enough that you feel kind of a desire and eagerness to share this with others. a sense of duty, or not in a bad way, but out of a sense of a desire, longing to share this with others. And he says that he has to certain groups that he's obligated to do this. He says to the Greeks, which is the educated, rich intellectuals of the world, and to the barbarians, the non-Greeks, the uneducated, poor, lower class, across the tracks kind of people, the vulnerable. We as a church are obligated, have the opportunity, the privilege to share the gospel, and should intimately and personally share the gospel with those that are wealthy, those that are poor, those that are drug addicted, and those that are addicted to success, those that are addicted to themselves, those that are hopeless and broken. We have this opportunity, this eager opportunity. This is how we experience the power of the gospel in our lives. And this is also how we reveal the gospel in our lives. So our debt is to God, but the payment is to men. Finally, we see Paul experience and show this power of the gospel through his humble confidence. Look with me at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We experience, friends, that the power and reveal the power of the gospel through humble confidence in Christ. Through humble confidence in Christ. I think that's what he's expressing here, is that there's this humble confidence that he has in Christ, in the power of the gospel, that fuels him not to be ashamed, but also reveals itself to others. The first way we see and experience this humble confidence is this, that our confidence gives us courage to share. You may be in here and you know what? The idea and thought of sharing the gospel with somebody makes you shake in your boots. Like it visibly makes your teeth shatter. Chatter, not shatter. Goodness gracious. It makes our teeth chatter. We're afraid. We're scared. The thought, there's been times in my life when I know for a fact God's calling me to share the gospel with somebody on the phone or with a brother, or something like that, with a family member, a coworker, and this sense of desire to do it, but also this great fear overwhelms us. There's a reason Paul writes that he's not ashamed. And that's because our natural instinct and our natural temptation is to be fearful and to be ashamed of it. You want to know why I think that is? Because the gospel inherently admits that we are not okay and that we can't save ourselves. And that's both offensive to us, because we like to put on the face that we're okay the way we are. We live a good life. I've got a good family. I drive the nice car. I do all of these things, so I'm okay the way that I am. Or we fear what they will say. We fear of breaking a relationship. We fear the teacher. We fear the coworker, what they will do to us. We fear the boss. We fear losing our job. We fear losing face. All of these things are reasons that we oftentimes feel great shame in sharing the gospel. But Paul says that I am not ashamed of the gospel. What he says here is that we ought to learn the power of the gospel. It's something that's learned and experienced. The first two parts are really important. Notice that he doesn't say, for I am not ashamed, until the end of this section. Because first he has a personal relationship with Jesus. He has encouragement with believers. And then he's had opportunities to eagerly obey and share. So he's experienced the gospel personally. He's experienced the gospel with other believers and seen its power. He's witnessed its power in its own life. And then he's witnessed its power as he shared other opportunities. The only way that we learn not to be afraid or ashamed of the gospel is when these first three things happen. When we are close with the Lord ourselves, when we are close proximity with other believers, as we see the Lord working in their life, the power of the gospel, because we have amnesia, and so we forget the power of the gospel. This power, he says here, is the in the language of the New Testament, where we end up getting the word dynamite. And it means this, that this power has an innate sense of power or ability to change, that it's dynamic. This power of the gospel has the ability to change people's lives, and Paul has seen it. Have you seen or can testify to the power of the gospel to change in your life? Have you seen it change another brother or sister's life? Have you seen it heal a marriage? Have you seen it bring back a lost friend? Have you seen it change your heart from bitterness and envy and jealousy and lust to love and thought of others? When we remember and recall this as Paul has done, we begin to understand and lean into and learn confidence. This is something that is practiced or learned over time. That's the only way that we believe the Word of God and believe what His Word says about itself and about Jesus. Everything that God wants for us is to be found in the gospel. We must believe that. That the gospel is what is empowered to change us, to sustain us, and this is what encourages us. It's our natural instinct to kind of shrink back. So lean into Jesus and learn the power of the gospel. Remember it. Like the father in Mark 9 who has the demon-empowered son, right? You know this. The demon-possessed son. What was his cry? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In our lives, let us go to the Lord and confess when we are ashamed. But let us trust and remember that the gospel has the power to change anyone's life, including our own. So embrace the awkward conversations, because guess what? Awkward conversations with the power of the gospel changes lives. Take the risk. Now, don't be a jerk about it, and don't be dumb about it, right? Like, I've heard this story of a guy that was on fire for the Lord, and he was an airplane pilot, and you know what he did? He got on the intercom, and before they went up, he said, you may die tonight, right? That's what you want your pilot to say. And if you die tonight, where would you go? Right? Well, let's not be dumb about how we share it. Let's be smart and follow the Spirit's lead in it. But let's not be ashamed of the gospel. So our confidence gives us courage to share, but also our confidence gives us cause for life. Our confidence gives us cause for life. Paul says that this really interesting phrase. He says, for in it, through the power of the gospel, through Jesus, the righteousness of God, that is the upright moral standing of God, the goodness of God, is revealed from faith for faith. Or your version may say something different, from faith from first to last. And so he's saying that this gospel, this powerful gospel that lives within us, that we have as a message that we owe to other men, actually is something that gives us cause for life. It gives us a priority in our life. It gives us a purpose in our life. That God's righteousness, His goodness, His glory is on display through your life and through your faith. It says His righteousness is revealed through the power of the gospel. And that means that you admit and own the fact that you were a sinner and headed for wrath and deserving for wrath. And in that, it reveals that no one is righteous, no, not one. That you are not righteous before God, and neither are the rest of the world. But yet there is one who has come, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, that lived the life that you and I should have lived, and died the death that we should have died, so that we can experience new life, that we can experience reconciliation. And because of that powerful message, and because He was raised again on the third day, we have an opportunity to reveal the gospel to others through our faith. That gives us a cause, a reason, even in the midst of our difficulties and even in the midst of our heartaches. Because when we live by faith, the lost and dying world sees us continuing to love the Lord and reveals His righteousness. So our difficulties and our sorrows become occasions for God to use and bring others to Himself. Our faith matters. The way that we handle success matters. Because in our success, do we become thinking that ourselves that we're hot stuff, that we're sufficient? Do we show that the way that we live our lives by faith, if we show the world that we're self-sufficient, then we're not rightly showing the righteousness of God through our faith, even in our success. And our weakness, if we say that there is no hope, then we're not showing the righteousness of God and the power of the gospel to change. It gives us cause for life. And finally, our confidence gives comfort for perseverance. Our confidence in the gospel gives us comfort for perseverance. He says, this righteousness of God is revealed from faith or for faith, and for faith, or from first to last, meaning that the righteousness of God is revealed in the way that He perseveres or holds us, secures us, until He ultimately brings us to Himself and glorifies us. That the goodness and righteousness of God is given by faith, that it shows and reveals it is only through Him that we are saved. God's not fickle like us. A couple years ago, I got a 1,000-piece like mini smoky Lego type thing where the pieces of the Legos are like that small and it drives you nuts. I got like a third of the way through that thing and I'm like, Lauren, I'm done. Like, sorry. And she was loving, this is why she's the better half. She was loving enough to finish that for me. And then I accidentally broke the ear on it and didn't know how to put it back together. So don't tell her that. It's in my office now. You can see the smokiless ear. But here's the deal. God's not fickle like us. He doesn't grow impatient or tired of us like I grew tired of dealing with that dang smoky Lego doll. Right? And I'm grateful for that. That means God gives us perseverance, that He gives us the strength through the power of the gospel to sustain us. He doesn't just quit. He doesn't sell us. He doesn't throw us away. As Philippians 1:6 tells us, that He will complete the good work of faith and salvation in you that He began on the first day. And so if you're here and struggling right now, you're beaten down over your own sin, I want you to be encouraged. If you're overwhelmed with guilt and shame from your sin, remember that the same power that saves us is the same power that sustains us. Run back and lean back into Jesus. Run to Him to forgiveness. Let us learn to be confident as we share the gospel. Let us learn to be comforted by leaning deeply into Christ with the personal relationship with others and with Christ. And let us inspire confidence in the gospel in our sharing. Let us be inspired to confidence. So will you go to God, not in hiding, not feeling like you've got to have everything right yourself? Let's pray. God, I thank you for the gospel, that it is your power.